Michael Haney was 6 years old when his Uncle Dick came to their home one morning to tell Michael and his brother that their father was dead. Bob Haney was just 35. He was the slot man, a high-pressure, high-profile position overnight on the Chicago Sun-Times, a newspaper that in 1970 was the quintessence of roustabout Chicago journalism. Bob Haney had died of a heart attack on a North Side street, as one of the obits put it, while visiting friends. Over the years, Michael Haney grew up to be a journalist himself. He's now the deputy editor of GQ. Began to wonder about some of the small differences in the obits between newspapers and about some of the obliqueness in the accounts of his father's death that he grew up hearing from his uncle and mother. So we set out to find out the story himself. His new book, After Visiting Friends, A Sun Story. And Michael Haney joins us in our studios. Thanks so much for being with us.
Nice to be here, Scott.
You were six. Mm-hmm. When did you begin to wonder about that phrase, after visiting friends?
I think when I first discovered those obituaries, I was in high school, you know, 17 years old, working on a term paper. And I was in the public library in town, and I just on a whim thought, I'd never seen these obits, and I went looking for them. And there those phrases were, but at the time I was too afraid to discuss anything with my mother. But they were like that thing that's way down in the basement that you hear rattling and you hear it at night when you're in bed and you just keep trying to push it down and not think about it. But it just keeps rattling around and you've got to go down and look at it.
When did you begin to suspect it was some kind of euphemism after visiting friends?
Probably about 10, 12 years ago. And the question to me was, how come at the funeral I never met any of these friends and none of these friends ever came forward and said, I was with your father the night he died and it was a terrible thing, but I want you to know he didn't suffer or, you know, he thought of you. I mean, no one ever came forward and I thought, things just don't add up and you start to wonder about why don't they add up.
You depict what's often considered a kind of modern golden age of, of Chicago journalism. There was great vivid writers and personalities. And
right.
I'll rattle off the names: Mike Royko, Tom Fitzpatrick, Roger Ebert, the early Bob Green, Jim Hogue, the Golden Boy editor, and if I may, great watering holes like the Billy Goat and Ricardo's. In the end, was it so golden?
I think for them it was a golden time, and it was, you know, a time I really wanted to sort of pay homage to that period. You know, as I say in the book, it was this wonderful moment between the front page era and the information age. You know, one of the epigrams in the book is from this guy named Uli Uhlenberg, who coins the great Chicago phrase for all Chicago newspaper men, which is, if your mother says she loves you, check it out.
At the same time, a lot of those memories are kind of in a, if I may, an alcoholic fog, too.
A little amber. I think, you know, my father worked what was called the lobster shift. It was 6 p.m. to 2 a.m. Yeah. You know, he slept during the day. We'd have breakfast with him in the morning, and these guys would sort of like, you know, at 6 o'clock, and as one of them said, they would take their lunch at 10 p.m., go out to a bar across the street and drink. Every newspaper had its own bar, whether it's the Tribune, the Sun-Times, the Daily News, the Chicago Today, they all had their own.
And there were five dailies in Chicago in those times.
Including the Defender. So they all had their dedicated bars, and these guys all just circulated amongst them.
Spoiler alert, visiting friends turned out to be a euphemism for visiting a woman.
Yes.
The person's apartment persuaded them to call his brother.
Yes.
Not your mother.
Right.
Why tell your mother?
You know, once I found out what happened, I sat on that for a good 1 or 2 years. I had this great fear that if I find something out and I tell my mother, I could lose her love and lose my brother's love and be cast out. And yet, inside, this thing I feared was a truth. And that truth, once I put it out for my mother and brother, it actually answered questions for her that were 40 years old. It brought all of us closer, and I think it brought a new life to our family.
Another tough question.
Mm-hmm.
For those of us who lose a father when we're kids, I recommend a play by Robert Anderson called I Never Sang for My Father.
Mm-hmm.
There's a line in there that goes, death ends a life, but it doesn't end a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Your father has been gone for some time now, but I know the relationship goes on.
Mm-hmm.
So your father had a secret.
Mm-hmm.
He had a secret relationship, if not a secret love,
uh-huh.
and maybe both. Why not keep his secret? I mean, just because he's dead, does he lose the right to keep a few secrets?
That is, boy, that's a good question. You know, he's been dead 40 years, more than 40 years now, and you cite that line, which makes me think of a line that I wrote in my book, which is, you know, our absence is greater than our presence. And whether you've lost a father or a mother or a sibling, through death or just someone's drifted out of your life or you've lost, we all wonder, what happened to them? Why did you leave me? What became of this? It is his story, you're right, but it, as fathers and sons and daughters and fathers and daughters and mothers, we're all inextricably entwined. And I think this is my story as well as his story. So, I mean, you know, someone asked me after I learned the truth about my father that night, what had happened. They said, well, how do you feel about him now? And I said, you know, I had finally, you know, 40 years later, and here I am, a man almost 50, and I see him now no longer as son to father, little boy to man. But I finally, in that moment, I saw him as man to man, someone I could sit side by side with at the bar and have those conversations with that I never was able to.
Michael Haney, deputy editor of GQ and author of the new book, At Visiting Friends, A Son's Story. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Scott.